This is Rock and Roll English. Real people, real English. Here's your host, Martin Johnston.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Rock and Roll English, episode number 230, baby. Oh, yeah. In today's episode, we have a very, very special guest, one of the most famous guests, I think, we've ever had, because we speak to Chris from Instant English, and on Instagram he has, at the moment of recording, 1.8 million followers. So as I mentioned, quite famous, a lot more famous than me. Anyway, in today's episode we speak about living in Barcelona and just living abroad in general, because Chris is from the UK, from Oxford, as you will hear in the podcast, but he lives in Barcelona, so I thought I would find out something about Barcelona and just have a chat about living abroad, because I know many people that listen to this podcast live abroad, and as you know, I myself lived abroad for a long time. Just before we start, remember, if you have any difficulty understanding this podcast, remember to check out my online course, Jungle Listening, which is the only course on the market which actually teaches you how to listen and how to understand fast spoken jungle English. The link is in the podcast you are listening to right now, so you can stop the podcast, click the link and check it out. But that's enough of me talking. Here is the conversation. Happy listening. So, hello, Chris, and welcome to Rock and Roll English.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I think you are one of the most famous people that we've ever had on the show. I was extremely happy when I saw one day that you had followed me on Instagram, and I thought, oh my God, what is a superstar like this following an idiot like me for?
Well, you know, just like to see if I can steal any of your ideas.
Right. I don't think so, but only because my ideas are so bad, not because you can't. You're more than welcome to steal any of my ideas, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, well, I think it was you. Was it something related to music? And I was like, oh, that's quite unique. Because it was it almost a year ago now? I feel like it was the beginning of last year.
Not so about that.
My mind's a bit blurry now, but... But yeah, I remember it being quite interesting.
Okay.
It's quite rare to find other British teachers on, like, teaching on the internet. It's really, really hard. Not that I'm saying other people can't do it, but it's nice to, have people from your own country and you can connect with them, you know, absolutely. They get the references and stuff. But yeah, it's quite rare.
Absolutely. We are a dying breed, getting taken over by Americans.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said, very happy to have you on the podcast. And so obviously you are an English teacher, and something I think interesting about you is that you were actually born in Oxford, that I suppose you were destined to become an English teacher, no?
Yeah, it has opened up a lot of doors for me.
I can imagine.
And I remember I think it actually helped me to get my job in Peru. Like, I had the job interview. And it was like a Skype interview. And I literally just, you know, I introduced myself and said I'm from Oxford. And I saw her eyes just sort of light up. And I was like, okay, maybe I just won't mention I didn't study in Oxford. I literally was just born there. And then I remember I was on the Zoom call, or sorry, the Skype call for about an hour. And she was literally just walking around the office, going to different departments and like handing the phone to other people. And I was talking with the director of marketing and then the director of studies, and then it basically just everyone wanted to have a chat with me. It was quite nice, but yeah. I didn't do anything apart from like being from Oxford.
I can imagine. It's strange how I think you only notice this when you go abroad, that, well, when I notice people talk about England, they generally just talk about London. And then if it's in an English like teaching conversation idea, let's say, then obviously Oxford and Cambridge get mentioned as well. And yeah, speaking of Oxford, one of my very close friends, a regular on the podcast actually, went to Oxford, and he always tells people, yeah, I went to university in Oxford, but he doesn't tell people he went to Oxford Brookes, which is the other university, not, you know, the Oxford. But yeah, that's his classic. Yeah, I went to university in Oxford. And certainly talking to someone abroad, they don't question that and just, oh, you went to university in Oxford, like, he's a genius, when really that's definitely not the case. But so you now as well live in Barcelona, yeah?
That is correct, yeah. Live in Barcelona. I've been living here for about 1 year now, 1 year in November.
Right, okay, fantastic. So I thought we could talk about Barcelona, obviously make comparisons to like the UK as well, where we're from, because I've done lots of these podcasts about like specific cities or countries, and people generally like to listen to them because the people from those places obviously have an insight, and obviously people that are not from have an insight too. So I've got some very random points here and we can just have a chat about them, okay?
Excellent.
So I also contacted someone in the Rock and Roll English family, the membership area, who lives in Barcelona, and asked him if he had any questions for you as well. And cool. he mentioned something about English level and how that is, especially, I suppose, as an English teacher, what is that like in Barcelona? Because in my 5 minutes research that I always do, and I just typed in like pros and cons of living in Barcelona, I was surprised that it said everyone speaks English. Is that the case?
I would have to say, yeah.
Really?
Especially in the center. However, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's all Spanish speakers or people from Spain, sorry, or Catalans, I should say. How good is their English? I'm not entirely sure. It's just because Barcelona is very international. It's a bit like London. So I know a lot of people from Argentina, from Peru, Colombia, Germans, Polish. There's loads of, so my friendship group is very mixed nationality wise, and everyone has fantastic English.
Right,
so
okay.
I've never really had any problem, but again, I live quite central as well, so that might be a factor.
It's interesting that when you are living in a country as a foreigner, you naturally attract other foreigners. So when I lived in Rome, and then when I lived in Sicily, like I had friends from all over the world in both of those places. So especially when I lived in Sicily, and I was talking then to Sicilians, and I would say, for example, oh, my friend from Peru, and they would say, like, what? Like, someone from Peru lives here. But it's right. Just you. But, and strangely, when I lived in London before I had lived abroad, I didn't know one foreigner. not because I didn't want to talk to foreigners, just because I had my group of friends, like we went to school together. We didn't know any foreigners at all, which is crazy because London is, you know, one of the most international cities in the world.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? Because you have your group growing up, you have your cliques, let's say, and it's quite hard to infiltrate those groups. In a way, I'm still trying to infiltrate some Catalans here, but yeah, it's quite tricky in that sense.
It is, yeah. Anyone tries to infiltrate the group of friends that I have, we say, like, no, what are you doing? Like, no one can infiltrate this group. Get out.
It's done. Maximum membership.
Exactly. I actually think my close group of friends, we are actually a bit like that. Anytime another friend has brought another friend with them, generally it has always been English. People always just think, like, why did you bring him? Like, we were supposed to be talking about like teachers at school, like, and now we can't because someone else is here.
It's true, you have to reference everything. By the way, we're referring to this, and slows down the fun.
Exactly. So another thing apparently Barcelona is famous for is festivals. Is this true? Are there many festivals? Have you been to any?
Yeah, I think a lot more. For example, before I used to live in Malaga in the south of Spain, in Andalusia, and I would say there's far more festivals here than there were there. So I think it might be specifically a very Catalan thing. Like, there's one, the most famous one, I think, is called, well, during the summer, basically every neighborhood has their own festival.
Oh, right.
And it lasts usually for like a week. I think the most famous one is in Gracia, which is just north of where I am now. And they basically just sort of decorate all the streets in different themes. There was like a jungle one. There was a sea one, let's say. There was a salsa area, or let's say a Latin music area. And basically the whole week just parties every day and every night.
Okay.
And then after that week, I think that was in August, and then the next one starts the end of August, September. It's in Sants, which is another area on the opposite side of the city. And that's sort of very similar. Again, it's sort of very themed, and then lots of music and just parties for the whole week. So I don't really know how anyone in those neighborhoods
gets
through the week. Yeah, I generally don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's very true. There's also the music festival as well. I think you mentioned previously that you have been to one, or...
Yeah, in our pre-podcast chat, I spoke about Benicassim, which is near Valencia, I believe, because it was quite a while ago that I went to this. I went 2 years on the bounce. I think it was maybe 08 and 09. It was always the standard. You go the second year, and it's like, it's not as good as the first year was.
Yeah. It's quite hard to sleep. I went to it as well, and it's quite... there's no break from, because the music sort of ends at 6 a.m. And then you go back to your tent, and then the sun comes up about 8 a.m. Exactly. And then your tent is like an oven by 10 a.m. So you're like, oh, I have to wake up now, otherwise I'm just gonna sweat to death. So you know, I didn't really get any sleep. I came back like sort of, what is it, sleep paralysis I
had. Right.
When I got back, I was just like in bed for like 3 days, just sort of laying there.
Very, very, very similar to when to my experience there. And you mentioned in our pre-podcast chat, you asked if I had been to Barcelona, and we flew to Barcelona to go to this festival. And I remember when we got back to Barcelona, we stayed, I think, one night there, and we had a hostel, and there were like six of us in this hostel room, that like all six, my friendship group, not letting anyone else in, obviously. And I just remember us all getting into bed, and there was just all of these noises. Everyone was just going, because it was just, number one, to be on a proper bed instead of like the last 5 days in a tent was amazing. Yeah. And it was quiet and it wasn't hot, and everyone just fell asleep instantly. But I had never been so pleased in my life to find a bed and sleep. It was just, oh my God, so
good. It's
hard
work, isn't it?
It's very hard work. Luckily, I was a lot younger there. Certainly don't think I would be able to cope with that now. But yeah, certainly fun at the time. But yeah, these festivals sound great as well. I do have this impression, I hope this isn't offensive in any way, I don't think it is, to Spanish people, that Spanish people do love to party, as you mentioned. It just seems to be my impression. Even like when I've been other times to Spain, I remember when I was in Valencia and just like seeing people carry on dancing until like 6 o'clock in the morning, just thinking, how can you keep doing this? Like, I need to go to bed now.
Yeah, I don't think it takes them... there isn't much of an excuse to celebrate something in terms of, they are, you know, it's like, oh, there's another bank holiday. What is this one for? Oh, some saint, but this is what we do. And then it involves drinking for 3 days, or, you know, not that... the thing is, I think they actually enjoy these parties compared to British people, where it's like, if we have that kind of thing, it would be, let me see how much alcohol I can drink within 3 hours. They actually just have a couple of drinks, or they drink, you know, some people, obviously there's variations, but I think they actually just enjoy like the situation, or
yeah,
they seem to party more, but not recklessly or recklessly.
Recklessly, I would go for recklessly, of those. Sorry. I totally agree. And I think as a British person, this is something I have a lot of difficulty understanding. Certainly similar thing to Italians. When I go to Italian weddings, I just can never get my head around the fact that they dance between the plates. So they'll have the starter, and then everyone will get up and start dancing as if it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's like full on, like proper going for it. And then a few minutes later, everyone just sits down again and just eats normally. And then they get up again. And I just look at them and I think, how are you enjoying yourself if you're not like totally drunk? Like how is that possible? Because for my British mentality, it's, if I'm up dancing, going crazy, that means like I'm gone. I've had so much to drink that I can barely stand up, kind of thing.
I think no British person ever has danced without being at least tipsy.
Oh yeah, so like certainly British male, maybe some girls, but a British male to dance, well, in my opinion, without being beyond tipsy is just
ludicrous.
Ludicrous. Yeah. Another time I was in France actually with a friend living there. Obviously, he was in an international crowd, and we went to this place, and there was like some South American thing, and lots of people were dancing as soon as we got there. And we were both like, we are going to just stand at the bar for the next 3 to 4 hours, and then possibly we will go over there. But it was just like such an intimidating atmosphere for two British guys walking in there totally sober, and immediately everyone doing all these crazy South American dances. We were like, whoa, slow down. this is not for us. Okay, but another one. So this is a cultural thing. What about the eating late thing? Have you developed this culture? Because like for me in Italy, they eat late, but Spain, from my experience, take it to a new level.
Yeah, I think it's something I've definitely adapted to. So I would say nowadays I can have my dinner about nine. Half eight, nine. But then I'm kind of usually the first person in the restaurant if I go there. You know, like they open up at eight, it's like, okay, I book for eight. Whereas I think most Spanish people kind of arrive 9:30, maybe some 10. It's not unusual to see people in the restaurants, you know, 11, that kind of thing. But I also recently got back from Argentina, and that was another level. People, I think, were booking tables for 11 and then eating until, you know, 1 a.m. or something. So that was, for me, it was a big difference. But yeah, I've got used to it now. I think it's not too bad, because in my family we used to have dinner like 5-6.
So exactly, yeah,
it was a big jump in the beginning. But yeah, now I've kind of got used to it really, and it's not too bad.
Yeah, I do notice. So my wife is from Sicily, and so we've just got back from there as well. When I'm there, there's just something in the air which just makes having dinner at five really weird. Like I almost feel like I can't do that. And when we talk to people there, because now we've got two young children, we have dinner between 5 and 6, normally closer to 5, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because obviously the kids have to go to bed and stuff. When we tell people in Sicily, when I say to someone, yeah, no, I have dinner at like, I don't know, 5:30, honestly their reaction is if like I've just told them I've murdered someone. They're like, what? 5:30? Like, what? I said, like, calm down, it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's just all weather related, isn't it,
in terms of
now in the UK it's getting darker like 4, right, I imagine.
Yeah exactly, yeah.
So like you know, you don't want to be eating, you go to bed earlier, or well, I think some people do anyway, just because the sun goes down earlier, whereas here it's more like it gets dark about 6, so it's a little bit later.
Yeah. And I think there is something in that. So again, when I was living in Sicily, I could get by with less sleep, because I feel it's maybe just in my head that the weather somehow was, the sun was giving me some kind of energy. Whilst in the UK, generally my kids go to bed at 7, and I think I would like to go to bed now as well. Normally I've got things to do, but I would, if I could, I would go to bed at 7, but unfortunately it's not possible. I remember being in Sicily and I could easily sleep from midnight till 6 in the morning, and I'd wake up and I'd be fine. In the UK, if I only sleep that much, I'm definitely not fine. And
did you also feel that you were constantly on holiday, like you weren't living a normal life? It was constantly like, oh, I'm just in Sicily, even if you're working there and so on.
Yeah, kind of, yes, I must admit. And that's what I think is one of the not so great things about living in the UK again. It's like, oh God, this is real life again now.
Yeah, that's what I feel like here. I feel like I haven't lived in the UK for 9 years now, and I just feel like I'm in the sort of Peter Pan mode of like, I'm never getting old. It's like, I definitely am, but I just feel like I'm on holiday all the time.
Yeah, no, I definitely experienced that. And from at my place, the place we had in Sicily, we actually had a beach view, a very nice beach view from the balcony. So going out there in the morning, I just remember thinking, oh, I've made it in life. And now I'm back at my hometown where it's dark by 4 p.m. and I want to go to bed at 7. So yeah, that's probably the reason why I often think about moving back, but never mind. So on the weather thing, so you obviously enjoy that, because I think it's got two sides to it, that in the summer it can get very hot. Like, are you okay coping with those temperatures in the summer?
Yeah, here in Barcelona it's a little bit easier, because for me it was horrendous in Malaga,
right?
Because they used to have these things, these really intense heat waves,
right?
That would come from the Sahara, yeah. And it feels like you step out of your house and it feels like you're in an oven. Like,
yeah, I know that feeling.
It's really intense. Like, it's hot there sometimes anyway, but these specific heat waves were like crazy hot. So here, yeah, I only spent one summer here, and I found it pretty pleasant. I mean, obviously it was hot sometimes, but you just go down the beach and then you're like, oh well, pretty refreshed. You do have more of a night life rather than a day thing, you know. In the daytime you kind of don't really get up to that much, apart from maybe you do something in the house or you go to the beach. But in the night it's lovely.
The thing which I absolutely love about being abroad, which is just not possible in the UK, even if it's the hottest day in the year, at night in the UK it's chilly.
You still need a jumper, yeah.
Yeah. Whilst like being able just to wear shorts and t-shirt all day and all night, like going out in shorts and t-shirt, for me there is nothing better than that. And that's what I absolutely loved about real summers, because we don't really have that in the UK. In fact, every time I went abroad as a, like, until I lived in Sicily, really, it was just like the air was different when you were abroad. It was just like, oh, like it's warm and it's night, it's unbelievable.
That probably only thing that made me think of just then is that the only thing I'm missing now is that when I used to live in the UK and I would go to Spain or to Italy or other places, I would get that excitement, you know, whereas now I don't have that excitement about going to these hot countries, because it's just like, well, it's normal.
That,
you know, I don't really have, you know, you're on your Ryanair flight or EasyJet flight and you're like, oh, yes. And you land in like Athens, you're like, oh, wow, it's lovely. It's just like, well, it's nice.
Yeah,
but I don't have that buzz.
I didn't think about that, because that buzz has come back to me, because I go back to Italy, I mean, obviously when I went back recently, it wasn't so hot, but it definitely hotter and having that. But and I'd never thought about that, because I remember one of my friends got married in Spain when I was in Italy, and going there, and it was actually less hot where I went than where I was. And all of my friends were like, oh, it's so nice. And I was like, I'm going to put my coat on in a minute. It's freezing. It's only 30. It's not 35. Definitely. So what about the Catalan culture? Because I've never really understood much about this, but is this a big thing? Do you speak any Catalan? Do you try to speak any Catalan? Is it important to you? Like, tell us about it. Okay, so we are going to stop the episode there, and it will continue tomorrow in the members area. So let's have a look at some of the rock and roll vocabulary from today's podcast. So just quickly, remember, if you want to become a member of the Rock and Roll English family, where you get access to more than 1,000 extra podcasts, build a personal relationship with me and people from around the world, and become part of what is, in my opinion, the greatest learning English community in the world, then go to rockandrollenglish.com, then click become a member. Anyway, looking at the vocabulary, Chris said that he is still trying to infiltrate some Catalans, the Catalan people, let's say. So when you infiltrate someone, generally a group, you become part of that group gradually without being noticed. Often the police use this. Maybe if they're trying to arrest some drug dealers, they infiltrate the drug gang and become part of the gang and then, you know, arrest them all. Watch a kind of gangster movie. Donnie Brasco is a good one for a policeman that infiltrates the mafia, let's say. But obviously Chris was using it in a kind of jokingly way. So we also had the term ludicrous when I mentioned that asking British people to dance without being drunk is just ludicrous, so ridiculous. And Chris used a lovely piece of vocabulary, recklessly. So he said people in Spain like to drink and party, but just not recklessly like people in the UK. So if you do something in a reckless way, it's in a uncontrolled manner without considering the consequences. You just do it. Driving recklessly, for example, if you drink alcohol and drive, that is driving recklessly. Just a thing there, don't do that, okay? We also had the term buzz when Chris said when he goes to another country now, like to Greece, he doesn't get the same buzz. So that means it's an informal way to say excitement, let's say. We had the term on the bounce when I said I went to Benicassim, the festival in Spain, 2 years on the bounce, so meaning two consecutive years, because I went in 2008 and 2009. I also mentioned how I thought I'd made it, meaning made it in life. When I was living in Sicily and everything was going well for me, I thought I had made it, which means when you are successful, you have achieved your goals. I thought I had achieved them. Now I'm back to square one and feel like I haven't achieved anything in life. We also had the term go for it when I mentioned that Italian people, when they are at a wedding between plates, they start dancing and they are proper going for it. So proper in this situation meaning really, and going for it meaning putting in a lot of effort and enthusiasm. And one last piece of vocabulary, we had the term to get by when I said when I was living in Sicily with the sunshine, even if I didn't sleep, I could get by because of the sunshine. So to get by meaning I could manage without sleep, whilst now I live in a very dark and grey country, it's more difficult. Anyway, so all of the Rock and Roll English is on the website, rockandrollenglish.com. Click podcast episodes and then look at the latest episode and you'll find a list of all of this vocabulary. So thanks a lot for listening. I will talk to you all soon. But in the meantime, just keep on rocking, baby.
Thanks so much for listening to Rock and Roll English. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit rockandrollenglish.com and facebook.com/rockandrollenglish. We'll catch you next time.